Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in-store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week. Now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Free Tailed Gamers. I'm your host Colin here with Ashton.
Hey guys, how you doing?
I think we got two left over from last week and a whole slate of new ones, so we'll go ahead and get into it. PS Plus Essential Games for May.
So we have EA Sports FC 24, Ghost Runner 2, Tunic, and Destiny 2 Lightfall DLC. That's it that I've seen.
Tunic is like a Legend of Zelda knockoff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun, though. I mean, I just played it here and there. I mean, it's fun, though.
Then, well, it's worth playing. PS Plus, Essentials, and Game Pass have something in common right now with the Football Coach 24.
Yeah.
Then, Destiny 2 is what it is. So it's a DLC part of it?
Yeah, they have like 1,000 DLCs for Destiny 2. So there's another one.
Is all they're running on now is DLCs?
Yeah, because it's a free game. They run off people buying DLCs pretty much.
Fair. Didn't it cost money when it first came out?
Yeah. Yeah, I got it on it physically. And, well, I got it. My dad bought it for me for Christmas when I still lived with him, so I didn't pay for it, but I still paid money for it, I guess, technically.
You say, because what, it came out, I want to say I was a senior.
I'd say it had been my last year at my dad's, I think. So last Christmas. Well,
so I've been graduated by a year or two by then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you have PS Plus Essential, you're able to get those games right now. Well, until the end of the month.
Yeah.
Batman Arkham Shadow announced.
Yeah, so when I first seen this, I got so excited. I was like, oh yeah, another Batman Arkham game. I was like, oh, it's VR. That's stupid. But, yeah, the Batman Arkham series redefined the superhero genre and changed the course of action games in the decade following Arkham Asylum's release. While four mainline entries, Asylum, City, Origins, and Knight, delivered similar gameplay, a smaller spin-off game, 2016's Batman Arkham VR let players step into the shoes of the Caped Crusader using their PlayStation VR, Oculus Rift, or HTC Vive headset. Batman Arkham VR felt more like a tech demo than a fully fleshed-out game, but its relatively high sales showed that the appetite was there. The other day, Oculus Studios announced another VR title set in the Batman Arkham universe titled Batman Arkham Shadow. Though Rocksteady Studios, the developer of Asylum City and Knight was behind Batman Arkham VR. The developer that most recently released Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League does not appear to be involved with Batman Arkham Shadow. Instead, Camouflage, the studio behind Republic and Iron Man VR, is in charge of Batman Arkham Shadow. And it just goes on to say that the details are scarce. That's all they know is pretty much the name of the game. So, and that it's for VR.
So I guess Camouflage also made an Iron Man VR game from the source that I had.
Yeah, it said that in here too.
Which mine conflicts yours a little bit, because this says it's exclusively on MetaQuest Free in 2024.
Yeah, the Batman Arkham VR is a different game than the Arkham Shadow. It was its predecessor.
Gotcha. Well, mine did say Arkham Shadow.
Yeah. Yeah, Arkham Shadow is the new one, but the one that came out on other VR headsets was Arkham VR.
Gotcha. I may have just misheard you a few minutes ago, Vin.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, sad that it is just VR compared to, you know, actually being able to be a console release.
Yeah, because I played Arkham Knight. It was actually one of my first Xbox One games that I bought. I got it from GameStop in Fayetteville for like $12. But it was really fun. I got the DLC free with it. It was fun.
So I'm guessing you got it when it was already out for a few years at that point.
Yeah.
Since it was $12.
Yeah. It was pre-owned, I think. Too.
As you say, they seem to keep their prices high if it's newer titles.
Yeah.
Because even Walmart's cheaper than them now. When it comes down to new titles.
Yeah, usually.
Oh, at least a few tenths.
GameStop's just trying to stay alive right now.
Almost has a little bit extra help. They sell a little bit more than just video games. And video game apparel.
Yeah, definitely. They a lot more stuff.
Yeah. Alright. On to this week's. President of Nintendo says the announcement for Switch 2 coming this fiscal year.
Nintendo has suggested that its next generation console will be an evolution of the Nintendo Switch. On May 7th, Nintendo President Shintaro Furukawa shared a message to social media to coincide with the company's recent financial results, and confirmed that the company will make an announcement about the successor to Nintendo Switch within the fiscal year, which should come before April 2025. Industry analyst David Gibson also reports that when present during the financial results call, when asked if the Nintendo Switch 2 was brand new, Furukawa answered, "Switch next model is the appropriate way to describe it. It's an interesting term of phrase and seems to suggest that the Switch 2 won't be a completely new device, but will instead be a continuation or an evolution of the original design." Furukawa also confirmed in the social media post that Nintendo will be holding a Nintendo Direct this June regarding the Nintendo Switch software lineup for the latter half of 2024. So, in that Direct, the Switch 2 will not be in it. He did say that. It's just about games for the second half. He said that it will be announced later this year, so probably around September Direct, like I said before.
Yeah, so it threw me off at first just because I know our fiscal year here in America is by July 1st. Well, June 30th is the end of the fiscal year in America, but in Japan it runs from March to March, or yeah. March to April.
Yeah.
Well, April to March. There we go. I got it right that time. So I was like, oh, okay. So our fiscal year, I was like, obviously there's going to be a June Direct. It's going to do that. And I was like, wait, he literally just said it's not going to do. I was like, so that makes no sense. Unless they're just going to do like a random drop on June 30th. And I was like, oh, okay. It's by March 2025 is when we'll see it for them. Which, like you said, it'll probably be in the September direct, more than likely.
Yeah, I would say get pre-orders out for holiday. Yeah, and release around March to April next year.
Now, with how he worded it, do you think they'll make another blunder like what they did with the Wii U from the Wii, and people think that it's just an extension?
Well, he did say it's a successor to the Switch, so that means it's like the Switch, it's a hybrid. Because if he would have said, he could have said other things other than a successor, so it's going to be a hybrid console. We pretty much know that at this point, so they could mess it up like they did the Wii and Wii U, but I don't think they will. What they need to do is just name it something completely different. Don't name it Nintendo Switch something. Just name it something completely different. Yeah, instead of Nintendo Wii, Nintendo Wii U, just name it something completely different so people know it's a next generation console. And hopefully they learned their lesson from the Wii U, but, and I think they have.
Switch Cube.
Yeah.
Yes, it's hard to tell what the name will be. I mean, hopefully they decide to be creative with it.
Well, a couple weeks ago I seen that YouTube released a poll and people thought they leaked the name of the next Switch, which would the Nintendo Switch Attach. So if it's still Switch, it's not going to be good. But if they just call it Nintendo something Attach or whatever, then it'd be fine. But I think it was just probably a code name, not the actual final name from Nintendo.
But if you're listening to us, you know it's going to be a new console.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, most gaming people will, but like with the Wii U,
Of course, media is a whole lot better now than what it was.
Yeah,
back in 2012.
Right, and like you know how parents are when they go to Black Friday or whatever, buy consoles. They don't know what they're looking for. They don't know that the Wii U is a new console. They're like, oh, we already have a Wii. We don't need one of those.
That was our case.
Yeah. Well, I got.
Oh, bad. And I wanted a 360 at that point, anyways.
Yeah. I got a 360, and then the next year I got a Wii U, I think.
But yeah, it's just a weird thing. I mean, especially, like I said, if they do anything Switch-related, it's not going to be a good thing. Because I think, just like you, I've seen the potential code name was leaked, but I'm just like, it's just a code name.
Yeah, I don't think that's the final name. Yeah. And like you said, even if they do call it a Switch something, as popular as the Switch is, which the Wii was very popular too, but as popular as the Switch is, and like you said, media is better. And if they get the marketing out, like commercials and everything, then people will know it's a next generation console and then buy it.
Then you think how many technical, there's already three different Switch names for the Switch.
Yeah.
You got the Switch OLED, you got the Switch Lite, I mean, you got the normal Switch.
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of pointless to name Switch anything in the name without it being an extra add-on, per se, like how people thought it was with the Wii U.
Right. And then also, they said that the specs leaked for this. But it's just rumors, though, you know. But
yeah.
I was just going to go ahead and say it. So the current Switch has 4 gigabytes of RAM. And it leaked that the new Switch has 12 gigabytes of RAM. So definitely more powerful. So that's a good thing. It says it's going to be, just to put that in perspective, the Xbox Series S has 10 gigabytes of RAM. So
the S, not the X.
Yeah, the S, not the X. I think it said it's going to be coming with a 256 gigabyte hard drive. So definitely an upgrade from the 32 gigabyte on the regular Switch and the 64 on the OLED.
Hearing that sounds like it's going to be at least a $400 price tag starting out.
Probably, but
because the S is about $350.
Yeah, And then you got the X and PS5 at 500, so still beating the top tier consoles price wise.
Yeah, but they're basically competing with the on the Xbox side anyways, they're competing with the Series S comparing to the X, which means they're not even close to the Tecno X or PS5.
Yeah, Nintendo competes with themselves. They don't care.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's by design anyways, because, you know, Nintendo's going to outsell everybody else no matter what in the first place.
Right, yeah.
They've been around longer.
Except for the Wii U, they have pretty good success. Well, the GameCube too, I guess, but they have pretty good success with their consoles selling. They don't usually have issues.
Which, the GameCube was definitely a sleeper.
Oh yeah, people love it now. But the PS2 and the Xbox, more powerful. But now people really like going back to the GameCube because it had so many good games on it.
Retro now.
Yeah. Well, same with the Wii U. Like, people are going back to it now because it had really good games on it, but...
Yeah. Bet you can't access the shop anymore.
No, not without jailbreaking it. Which takes about 10 minutes.
As you said, I don't guess Nintendo can really care too much now. They took it away.
Yeah. They're done with it.
Alright. On to the next one. Activision hit with a $23.4 million U.S. patent verdict.
Alright, so May 6th, a Delaware federal jury said Activision Blizzard owes $23.4 million in damages for violating patents related to multiplayer features of its hit games World of Warcraft, Call of Duty Black Ops 3, and Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. The jury on Friday agreed with patent holder Acceleration that aspects of the game's online multiplayer networking technology infringed two of its patents. While we are disappointed, we believe there is a strong basis for appeal, an Activision spokesperson said in a statement on Monday. We have never used the patent technologies at issue in our games. Acceleration Bay President Joe Ward said in a statement that the company was delighted with the outcome Activision's multiplayer role-playing game World of Warcraft and first-person shooter Call of Duty series are same of the Santa Monica, California-based company's most popular titles. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, basically, they're getting sued. But, not sued, but fined. So, what I don't understand is those are all old games. So why are they just now getting hit with these patent infringements?
Oh, World of Warcraft may be old, but
it's still
at least has a completely active server and still growing. Granted, Black Ops 3 and Advanced Warfare ain't really growing anymore.
No, but they still have active servers, but
like I said, World of Warcraft is older than all those titles and still running.
Yeah.
I believe they even have a subscription. I mean, I think it's a subscription game now, so you pay bi-monthly, not even actually paying for the physical game itself.
Yeah, probably. That's how everything's going now.
Which, I mean, I think they've been doing that for a while. Like, I think that was the start of the trend for it.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I understand violating patents, but like you said, yeah, it is. They're all older games. Like I said, one still, they all have active servers, yes, but one's still actively still selling new stuff all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, you think if, especially the Black Ops 3 and Advanced Warfare, like, if they're infringing patents now, you would have thought they would have been back then, because what are they going to change now to make them violate patents? Why are they going to upgrade the servers? I mean, basically, they just want to keep them up for people to play. They're not going to update them all the time, you wouldn't think. Does that cost money?
That'd be like going after Nintendo for Splatoon 1.
Right.
And Splatoon 2.
Yeah. Makes no sense, but...
Yeah, I mean... Obviously, someone felt bad, which... I mean, players could have came up and be like, hey, I think something got violated, you know, I don't feel like this was right, and enough people spoke up with it if they're having issues on their said servers. But still, it's a patent lawsuit, so it's just like, okay, what did you forget to patent, or is it come down to, like, trademarks of...
somebody else's patent or something. I don't know. Like, it didn't say exactly if they violated their patent or if they infringed on somebody else's patent. They didn't really specify from what I've seen, but
that's what it seems like it would be violating somebody else's.
Yeah,
because you think even if it came down to music, it could be as simple as that. If they forgot to pay whatever they was using in the games, and then, you know, it worked out that way.
I guess it could have been something like that, because music licenses do expire, and those, especially the two Call of Duty games, are older, so maybe some music did expire, but most of the time when they make music, they make their own, in Call of Duty games anyway. They're not like 2K.
Because what it was, Advanced Warfare, then Black Ops 3 came out back-to-back. I believe so.
Yeah, I know it was Ghost, Advanced Warfare, then yeah, probably Black Ops 3 next.
So you were looking at 2013, 2014, so an 11 and 10-year-old game at this point. Wait.
No.
Yep. 15 and 16.
Because Ghosts came out after Black Ops 2, and it came out in 2012. So 13 Ghosts, 14 Advanced Warfare, 15. Yeah.
So yeah, 9 and 10-year-old game at this point almost. Because obviously they always have October, November releases somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
So just over or at those marks. So yeah, it's possible that the music wore off, because we all know there's music in the background, and especially in the pre-lobbies.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Getting off legal talk here that we don't quite understand as terrible podcasters.
That's right. We're not lawyers.
Sonic Rumble tease is, I guess, posted online from Sega.
Yeah. Sega has been playing a little fast and loose with Sonic the Hedgehog lately, using the blue blur for experimental projects like The Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't know what that is. But at the same time, the movies based on the franchise have been surprisingly good. Here's another treat for the Sonic enjoyers out there. Sega just announced Sonic Rumble, a 32-player PvP mobile game created with Finnish studio Ravio. Sonic Rumble immediately invites comparisons to other party games like those in the Mario Party franchise or Fall Guys. It looks like Sonic Rumble's minigames are a little less infuriating than Fall Guys' chaotic bean struggles, with some rounds focusing on traditional platforming levels. Others, however, look a lot more brutal. At one point, a giant chomping robot approaches, knocking out contenders left and right. Out of the 32 players, there can only be one winner. Players can also collect rings, which allow them to unlock new cosmetics like a pirate costume for Shadow the Hedgehog. So, the Sonic Battle Royale says Sonic will be hosting a closed beta test from May 24th through May 26th. Players can apply to test the game out on its official site. We expect the game to release for everyone this winter. So, Sega's getting into the Battle Royale with Sonic Rumble.
It don't surprise me. And I believe that's going to be mobile. So it's going to be iOS and Android.
Yeah, right. Yep. Maybe see a Switch release, because I know a lot of mobile games eventually come to Switch, but with it being towards the end of the life cycle, maybe not. Who knows?
Or they may just throw it on there just because.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell. I doubt it'll come to the next system right away anyway, unless it really gets quite a bit of downloads.
Yeah, unless it's like hugely successful. But I mean, this is sounds like a type of thing that somebody's going to play for a little bit and then get, you know, put it down. But
it's going to be a game that people's going to go on there and buy DLC and, well, not DLC, but skins, packs, whatever, characters. And then it's just pretty much a cash grab from Sega.
Yeah. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah. Activision's doing it. Epic's doing it. Well, that's what pretty much started the whole
that crazy and, PUBG came out around the same time.
So, you know, it's just what everyone's doing now. Sega's like, okay, we got a chance to make some extra dollars because, you know, we basically only have Sonic now. That's the only thing keeping us afloat.
Pretty much. They should re-release Crazy Taxi. I think that would help them out too.
Yeah. Definitely old, which back in the day they didn't care, it released on with everybody, because I remember having it, or Colby having it on the PSP.
Yep. But it is technically they could re-release it because they do own it, so
a rarity game too.
Yeah,
although I'm pretty sure if it got re-released it would probably be 10 plus.
Yeah, everyone turn it up.
Because I think that was right when E10 Plus had just came out and they didn't really know what to classify under it yet.
Yeah.
Because I do remember it being T for Team.
Yeah, as it came out on the Dreamcast and then it came out on other consoles after that.
Which, well, that's the original one. I think the one Colby had was like 1 and 2 combined.
Yeah.
Alright, to the next one. Nintendo drops free Zelda downloads for Nintendo Switch Online.
Yes, yeah, so Nintendo Switch Online subscribers across Switch, Switch Lite, and Switch OLED have been surprised with a free Zelda download that SNES nostalgics will especially appreciate. And unlike some Nintendo Switch Online deals, this one does not require the expansion pack. That said, it is available for only a limited time, or more specifically, only available until June 3rd. Further, is going to require you to play a game first. This morning, not really this morning, but a couple days ago, Nintendo specifically announced new profile icons based on The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past for Nintendo Switch Online. Naturally, these icons include character portraits of Link and Zelda, as well as three other characters from the SNES game. Before you can claim any of these icons, which costs 10 platinum points a piece, you will need to boot up the SNES app on the console and start The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past. You don't have to actually play it, but at least boot it up. So, yeah, so you can just get A Link to the Past profile icons for Switch. So, I'm going to actually do this because usually once they show a game, they don't bring them back ever, so... Like for the icons, they don't ever re-release them. So I might just do it just to have them. Because I have like Tears of the Kingdom and different ones that they've released.
wonder if I can get away with it where I already beat it on there.
You should be able to. All you have to do is start the game.
Yeah. It's a fun one. I enjoyed playing it. It was the, I think it's the only retro one I beat. Well, technically now Wind Waker is considered retro, but, you know, yeah. Especially too, since that was their third title it released as well.
I never beat it. I've never been able to just sit down and finish it. I've restarted it a bunch of times. So the oldest one that I've beat would have been Link's Awakening, I guess.
Yeah. I would have, if it was on the actual SNES itself, I would have never beat it. There's no way I would have got past that ice temple. I would have got too mad.
Save
space.
I got mad
with whatever I could do to save space with the...
Yeah.
Where you can do it, especially on the Nintendo Switch Online, like where you can just pretty much, quote-unquote, game capture it right there and then just load back into it, like quick save, I guess.
Yeah.
But, very complex thing where I'm just like, okay, so I would just get to a new room and I would just save it room by room. That's the only way I got through the Ice Palace, which is obviously the last dungeon before the final boss dungeon.
Right. Yeah, it's known for its difficulty and being a pain in the butt. So,
if it wasn't for that, I would have never beat it. I'll admit that right here, right now. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I mean,
that's how a lot of people beat or play Zelda 2, because it's so difficult. They use save states either on emulators or Nintendo Switch Online, whatever. They use save states to beat it because it's so difficult.
Yeah, like I said, every single time I would get to a new room, I would just save it where it was. Especially whenever I got to a room and I only had one heart. I eventually got so good at that room that, you know, I was able to get through there without one heart. But, you know, granted, it would take dying like 100 times just to get to that point. But, you know, it was okay just because I could go back to that safe space. I was like, okay, I'm just going to do this. Oh, I died. Go back to it. And then the next room, as soon as I hit like one or two enemies, they give me some hearts back. So, like, okay, we're good.
I need to beat like all the older ones, like the original Zelda 2. Zelda 2 is just so different. I just haven't ever been able to get really into it.
I've never tried that one. The first one, I think I got to level 6 because they're not called, we call them dungeons now, but at the time they were just level 1 through 8.
Right.
Got to level 6, and then I think I stopped playing after that, which means I was only 2 away. But at the same time, you know, the level 8 is literally as big as the overworld itself, map-wise. That dungeon is huge. Still think it's the biggest one necessarily in all of, because you think how big that overworld map is on the first one.
Yeah, pretty good size.
I would easily say, like, traditional dungeon, that's probably the biggest dungeon there is.
Yeah, probably.
It's insane that was their way of doing that, because that was some balls by Nintendo. They're like, okay, we got our overworld right here, then, you know, we don't really got all this extra space because it's an 8-bit system. Then they're just like, nah, we can do the same exact thing, just copy and paste everything, put it on the bottom layer. That way you're able to load into it, and poof, it works.
They never did.
Of course, at that point, the NES was, what, out for a year or two? So it was kind of... Which they do that. They always release, like, a smaller game for, like, starter titles or whatever, because Mario's a relatively small game.
Oh, yeah. They get more used to the hardware and know what it can handle and what it can't. So usually towards the end of the lifespan of a console, more powerful games come out, like Tears of the Kingdom, for example. Yeah. Like, that game...
whole memory
honestly has no business running on the Switch. I mean, it's a massive game.
Granted, yeah, you're stuck at 30 frames per second, but still.
Yeah, but it's still surprising me that thing came out on the Switch, because it's just huge.
Well, just basically the same thing I just said, because you got your whole top world. Yeah, you have some Sky Islands or whatever, but your Sky Island's not as big as your actual overworld. And then, you know, the depths are just as big as the overworld. Which, right. I mean, technically everything's the exact opposite, because where there's water, there's never-ending mountains. And then where there's mountains, it's a valley.
Right.
Down there, so everything's the exact opposite, but still, it's just exactly what I said with the first Zelda game, but it's not one technical dungeon, it's the whole map.
Right.
But for, you know, Breath of the Wild, it was just the overworld. You just had it, and your dungeons, air quotes.
Yeah. Shrines then, and stuff.
Like Ashton said, Tears of the Kingdom comes along at the end of the Switch's life cycle. I was like, oh yeah, I'm double and a half the size of what my predecessor was.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You got anything else for him, Ashton?
No, I think that's it.
We're definitely covering less topics this week than last week.
Yeah.
Last week was the Xbox exclusive, pretty much.
Yeah, it's covered a whole bunch of Xbox topics, and they're people aren't happy with them this week, but we won't talk about that right now.
Nah, don't got time to talk about it right now.
No.
Well, not without going for a little bit longer anyways.
Yeah.
But we thank you guys for watching / listening, no matter where you get us from, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you get your podcast at, YouTube. We appreciate it all.
Yeah, definitely.
Follow us on all those platforms and Discord. And I think that's it.
Merch on Redbubble.
That too.
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. Later, guys.
Catch you guys next week.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.